Here we go, people. Baseball officially back. There is going to be a baseball season. Players, pitchers and catchers will report. I guess everybody will report. It's not even pitchers and catchers. For spring training 2.0 on Wednesday, Dodgers will train at Dodger Stadium. Angels will train at Angel Stadium. Every team will train in their own stadium. The season is expected to start right around July the 24th is the current start date. And there will be a schedule. It hasn't come out yet. There'll be a universal DH. And there will also be, in extra innings, a runner at second base to start each extra inning. So
I'm surprised you're not up in arms about that runner on second base thing. You hate that, don't you?
I hate it. I do hate it. But the reason for it, I think, is a good reason, which is to the less people are exposed to each other, the less likely they are to get the virus. So if that's the reason, I'm all for it.
All right, so we had Buster Olney on the show earlier. And Buster surprised me a little bit. He gave an opinion that he basically doesn't think this is going to work. Even though the players and the owners have agreed, he thinks COVID is hovering over the sport like a black cloud, and it will probably blow up what baseball is trying. How much do you agree with Buster, if at all?
Well, I mean, the true answer is I just don't know. Obviously, baseball, Rob Manfred, all the owners are consulting scientists and epidemiologists, and they're trying to strategize the best way to be able to handle COVID. I mean, there will be players who test positive probably on Wednesday. Probably the moment they report next week, there will be players who test positive. It's not an if, it's a when. And the question is, how will baseball handle it? Dr. Fauci has already said he thinks the NBA is doing the best job with this bubble that they're going to use. But even that is no guarantee. With cases rising in 20 states now, Texas in particular, Florida in particular, California, we ain't no great shakes. We're not doing that good. So with cases rising the way they are, I think it's going to be really tough. I think it's going to be really tough, and it's going to come down to exactly what their protocols are and how they handle it. They're going to have to move quickly and decisively, because the last thing you want is half a team to test positive for the virus.
Right, and that's just the baseball side of the story. In basketball, you know, Mace, today's the 23rd.
Yep.
Tomorrow initially was the day that the NBA asked players to let their teams know if they were going to participate in the Orlando campus. Adrian Wojnarowski, less than an hour ago, tweeted that Wednesday, tomorrow, is turning out to be a soft target date for players to opt out of Orlando, unless they want to enter the process to be placed on an excused or protected list to keep their salary. Teams are largely treating July 1st as the deadline, which is when rosters of eligible players are due to the NBA.
So that's next Wednesday, same day as baseball will start spring training 2.0.
Right, and there have only been two players who have publicly opted out of the Orlando campus so far. Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards, he's had two ACL injuries, and he's a free agent next year. The Wizards did it with his blessing. They understand why he's not going to play, and they're so far out of it anyway.
They're five and a half games out with eight games left.
So they're not making the playoffs. And the other one was a former Laker, Trevor Ariza, who has a custody issue with his 12-year-old son. Trevor had arranged to spend the month of July with his 12-year-old son who lives in Los Angeles. Trevor now plays for the Portland Trail Blazers. And he didn't want to go back on that. He had planned a lot of things to do with the Suns and wanted to spend that month with them. So and the Blazers are also kind of a long shot. They're 3.5 back. They're just trying to force a play-in tournament. So, but those are the only two. Now, Mace, Danny Green from the Lakers has a podcast.
Yeah.
And he talked on his podcast last night about the fact that Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard have both been outspoken about players using their platform to speak out for racial injustice and for, you know, for everything that's going on in the world with the Black Lives Matter movement. Here's Danny last night on his podcast talking specifically about Dwight Howard and Avery Bradley.
And I talked to a couple guys this week. I got a chance to talk to Dwight Howard. I talked to Avery Bradley early in the week, but I've been trying to get a hold of him this past week and haven't been able to get a hold of him as of late. So I don't know where he's at, but I talked to Dwight, and there's just some things that are bigger than basketball. You never know what's going on with guys' families. And just hearing the background of what Dwight was going through, I understood fully. And obviously he wanted to do it for protest, not because of his family, but there's more than just one scenario, one more issue, more than one thing that's going on in his life besides the protest. And, you know, with, you know, the loss of his baby mother, but there's a lot of other things that's going on behind the scenes that people don't know about. And I understood. I said, you know, obviously we need you, man. We love you like a brother, your family. We want you to be a part of this, but regardless of what your decision is, you know, we know it's bigger than basketball and that the things are more important than actually, you know, doing this. So if you need to be with your family, so we support it, regardless. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm all for it. He said, I never said I wouldn't play, but just a lot going on. So he's kind of, you know, making a decision. We have only a few days left, but I think he'll be with us. And if not, so once again, he's still our brother. We still support him. Avery, like I said, I haven't got a chance to get in touch with him recently. Hopefully I'll hear from him the next day or so. But so some things are bigger than basketball, and we have to understand that.
So he thinks Dwight Howard is going to play, and he just doesn't know on Avery Bradley.
And I hope that if those guys or any other player elects not to play, like I'll use Trevor Ariza as an example.
Yeah.
I hope people don't come out and condemn Trevor Ariza for not playing or call him, you know, question his commitment. I mean, you don't ever know what's going on in somebody's life.
Sure.
And you don't know, you know, nobody knows the personal details or what's happening. And Ariza, I'm a little biased here because I covered him when he played for the Lakers, is a great guy. And he's elected to spend that month with his son, who he wouldn't see otherwise. If Avery Bradley or Dwight Howard decides not to play,
right,
I'm going to say, I'm going to respect their decision and hope that whoever gets those minutes steps up. In the case of
right.
Bradley, it would probably be Alex Caruso. In the case of Dwight, it'd be a lot more minutes for JaVale McGee.
Right.
Maybe Kuzma's got to play a different position. I mean, you would try some different stuff. But if they opt out, Mace, I'm not going to condemn them, and I hope Laker fans don't either.
No. I mean, you know, there are multiple reasons why guys may opt out. And, you know, Dwight and Avery, it sounds like their thinking is they don't want to detract from the Black Lives Matter movement. I get that. I would support that. In the case of Trevor Ariza, wants to spend time with his son, given a specific window, he could spend time with his son, and it happens to be right now. I completely get that. If you have a pre-existing condition, like I'm pretty sure James Harden is going to play, but he does have a serious asthma condition. If somebody's got a pre-existing condition, completely understand. And then if you're just afraid of the whole damn thing, if you just don't want to go away for 6 weeks or 7 weeks and spend time with potentially a chance to get sick, I understand that too. I understand that too. I mean, this has got to be optional. And thankfully, I think most guys are going to opt in. But you're right. I don't think we should be critical of the guys that opt out, especially if it's for one of those four reasons.
And there's been a lot of talk that if Dwight Howard actually did opt out, that the Lakers may try and bring back DeMarcus Cousins. His agent, DeMarcus Cousins' agent, is a guy named Jeff Schwartz. He came out today and said DeMarcus is undecided whether or not he would even accept an offer to come back and play, not just for the Lakers, but for any team, because he said it'd have to be a perfect situation for him to stop his rehab. Remember that he is coming off of an ACL, and he's trying to set himself up to get a contract next year. The Lakers actually released Cousins towards the end of the season because they needed his roster spot when they went out and signed Deion Waiters. So could they bring DeMarcus back? It sounds like DeMarcus would consider it, but it's not a lock.
Well, and, you know, the Lakers are going to have some decisions to make because you are able to carry 17 players into this home stretch of the season and the playoffs. The Lakers are at 15. what they're going to do with those other two roster spots is kind of up in the air. A lot of teams are going to fill in with G League guys. But,
yeah, I think they're leaning that way, too.
I've but there that. Are guys. I mean, J.R. Smith is a guy that they met with and considered. Jamal Crawford is out there and is potentially available for the postseason and for the home stretch of the season. Do they go out and get one of those guys?
It's a fair question. I know
by the way, like you could talk about him because neither is under contract.
Right, and I can talk about the two G League guys, Kostas Antetokounmpo, Giannis's younger brother. Would be a great experience for him if he ended up going in. And Talen Horton-Tucker, who's a young guy they really like a lot. Those would potentially be the guys you would have to release in order to bring someone else in.
Wait a minute. You would have to release G League guys?
Well,
to
think
bring...
about it. You have 17 spots on your roster.
Right.
Right? So in order to create a roster spot, they would have to delete somebody who's on it now. Those are the guys that are on it now. Now, I don't know. What I don't know is could they just send them back to the G League? Because they're two-way players. But my understanding was that if the Lakers... Brian Kamenetsky wrote a column on this. We should... Hey, Funch, try and call Brian.
Yeah, because we also have some bad news for him.
Oh, that's right.
we also have bad news for Brian Kamenetsky.
So... If Brian knows the answer to this, but my understanding was if they were to go out and sign Boogie or any other free agent, I got to get out of the habit of calling him Boogie. Apparently, per DeMarcus,
he doesn't like that. Yeah,
I don't think he minds it. He just doesn't prefer it. The issue would be that you would have to give someone else their release, and that person would become available to go play for other teams.
And by the way, Shams is tweeting outright, Cousins will sit out as a precaution and continue to rehab his knee for the 2021 season.
Which makes sense to me because he's an unrestricted free agent and he would be healthy. At that point, he could go work out for somebody. Now, if you brought him in, you wouldn't know what you were getting. Remember the Warriors brought him in last year? And now we have tracked down Brian Kamenetsky. Brian, thank you for coming on not short notice, but no notice.
Zero notice.
Okay.
You're just waiting for our call anyway, aren't you?
You know, I believe it's like a bat signal, but I mean, usually I have time to put on pants.
All right, I'm glad that that's the case. We were trying to figure out if the Lakers, Shams is reporting that DeMarcus Cousins is going to sit out and not come back and rehab.
Right.
Tanya Ganguly reported this morning that she talked to Jeff Schwartz, DeMarcus's agent, and that he would consider a perfect situation, but he's leaning towards rehabbing. Now, my question for you is, because you wrote an article about this, if the Lakers were to sign him, would they need to create a roster spot, and could they do that with a G League player? Could they do that with Kostas Antetokounmpo or Talen Horton-Tucker? A two-way
guy. Yes to the first question, no to the second. They've got to cut somebody off the regular roster. It can't be one of the two-way guys. So, because basically, not because they can't cut one of those guys, but because Boogie's not eligible for a two-way contract. Anybody who's been in the league longer than 4 years can't sign that deal. So they'd have to cut somebody off the regular 15-man roster. Horton Tucker, though, is signed to the regular roster. So the guys who would be most likely to be cut are Waiters, Horton Tucker, or I guess maybe you can make an argument for like Quinn Cook or something like that, but that would shock me.
But the two-way guys are out of it. So Kostas, because he's a two-way guy, doesn't play into this.
Correct.
Okay.
So if they were to sign somebody like J.R. Smith, they would have to cut somebody.
Correct.
Huh.
So I don't think they will. I think the only person that they would do that for, I think, would be Boogie. And I guess something could change too. Let's say hypothetically Dwight decides he doesn't want to play. Even beyond some of the stuff that's going on, with his concerns, with racial justice and kind of keeping the eye of people on that. He has other things that have been going on in his life. Last month, the death of the mom of one of his kids has been something that he's been giving a lot of. So there are a lot of reasons why he might not play, in which case then that would open up a roster spot, and it would make Boogie someone that they might be able to go get.
Okay, we've got some bad news for you.
Well, yeah. Mason has some bad news for you.
Well, you have bad news, too.
Well, I'm not going without you.
So we were going to do the incredible Kamenetsky Brothers late night party hour.
Yes.
On Thursday
night. Very popular. Very popular show.
Very popular. Unfortunately, Brian, I have taken an urgent vacation.
I know that's shocking, Brian.
And so I will not be available. Yeah. I will not be available Thursday night.
You let me know when you guys are able to do it, and we will get you back on.
Okay.
I understand, like, sports are happening again, Steve. I understand the urgent need for a vacation. You've worked now many days in a row.
I think so, the exact number is eight.
Eight.
Seven.
That is,
I don't want to give you too much credit. Seven.
That is very near double digits.
But, you know, here's the interesting thing. So July the 24th, baseball starts. July the 31st, the NBA starts. We're going to be going nonstop through the fall. I mean, ideally, we're going to be going nonstop. NBA regular season ending, baseball 60-game regular season, NBA playoffs. I mean, if something happens, if a miracle happens, maybe college football, maybe the NFL. I mean, we're going to hit like the if God willing, we can deal with the health issues, the coronavirus issues. We're going to have nothing but sports at the end of the summer. So there will be time for vacation.
I understand. Hey, John, have you ever been received a check from Steve Mason?
A check?
Yeah. You should ask Steve to say, this is very impressive. So Steve owed me a little bit of money for a thing that I'm not allowed to say what it's for because
it's
somebody that we both like in trouble. But so I'm like, he's like, how do I get this money to you? Like, what's your address? I'll send you a check. I'm like, what is this, 1977? Just like Venmo me or something.
Right.
He's like, no, I send checks. And so I gave him my address, and he sends me a check today, and it comes like in this thing with his, like, I guess his corporation on it, and it's
I think I know the reason. I think I know the reason why. I think, Mace, it used to be this way, and I'm assuming it still is. Mason, you actually do not cut your own checks, correct? You have someone do it for you?
That is correct. I have somebody that pays, makes all the payments and does all the checks, and I have a business manager that does all that stuff.
Right, so Brian, he actually ordered someone to write you a check. That's what he did.
I understand that, but it's like it comes with like the perforated sides. It's like my regular like pay stuff from Disney. It's very official. It has a lot of gravitas behind it.
I was
very impressed.
As long as the check clears, Brian. Hey, so
I think it will.
So just so circling back to this Lakers thing, the other Laker two-way is Devontae Kaycock. He's in the same boat as Antetokounmpo, as Kostas, right? Those two are ineligible to create a roster spot, correct?
I believe that is the case. I think you'd have to sign them for another two-way guy. But even then, like somebody like J.R. Smith wouldn't be eligible for that anyway because he's been in the league too.
Got it. Okay, perfect.
Like if you replace a two-way guy, if you cut a two-way guy, you got to replace him with another two-way guy.
Okay, got it. All right, well, hopefully Dwight and Avery will play, and then none of this comes up, but we never know.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to happen between now and the end of July.
All right, so Brian, my understanding is we've called to the bullpen, and I will see you. Is it both tomorrow and Thursday, or at least tomorrow
both
for
tomorrow.
Sure, right?
This is how I found out about Mason's vacation. I will see you Thursday.
No, the truth is, Brian, Mason didn't tell you because he only cares about Mason. I actually texted you last night to tell you that Mason was going at some point to tell you that he wasn't going to do it.
He would have gotten around to it eventually. Like, if he didn't have this question, I'm sure at some point he would have texted.
There you go. There you go. All right. Talk to you tomorrow,
thanks,
man.
Brian.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. You know, John, we are optimists. We would like to believe that the NBA bubble is going to work.
There is the opposite of us.
Major League Baseball is going to work. Maybe we'll get football. We're going to be joined by somebody who has the opposite side of that opinion in all cases. And we've joked about this. It is negative Bill Plachke.
I think he may have come around.
No. I read his column today. He's done the opposite.
No, his column today was play ball. He's all excited about play ball.
I've got a column where he's...
read the lead, John. Read the lead.
Okay, maybe I have yesterday's column. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, no, he's not real high on what's going on. We'll get him in here next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? We have been trying for a long time to get this guy on the show. I'm not sure why we struggled so much. Why was it so hard, Lindsay?
I don't know. I mean, you guys asked me a while ago, and I think...
He's very busy. He's one of the stars of Around the Horn, Mace.
Yes.
That's a full-time gig, and it is our friend, L.A. Times sports columnist extraordinaire, Bill Plachke. Bill, how are you holding up?
I'm doing good, Lindsay. There's a key to getting a hold of me. Call me.
Yeah, there you go. You actually have to do it.
That's all it takes, Lindsay. I'm
okay.
Right here.
So, Bill, it's interesting, and I'm sure you deal with this a lot. I'm focused on your last column, which you're basically suggesting that, hey, baseball is happening. Whether it's safe or not, they're going to try it. Let's cross our fingers and hope it works. And, Mace, what's the line you plucked out of Bill's column from earlier in the week?
They're not going to stop until somebody dies.
Yes, I know.
So you're kind of on both sides of this. Well, how do you feel today as we sit here on Tuesday in the afternoon? Are you for trying this and playing, or would you, if it was Bill Plachke was Lord of all sports, would you shut it all down?
No, then I talk to the infectious disease specialists, several of them, and they all say uniformly, it's worth a shot. But they're all the warning that I say, that I said in my earlier column, was they have to know when's enough's enough. They have to know when to say uncle. And so I'm all for everyone at least giving it a shot and seeing if they can pull it off. But they have to know, and that's where the problem gets in. That's where the line about somebody dies gets in, is that, well, are they going to be smart enough to stop it in time before it gets real bad? And so I think I commend, I mean, I've been on the side of commending basketball and soccer and for trying it, and I think that nobody can blame them for trying it. It's just they have to know when to say it, when enough's enough, and we'll see if that moment comes.
Well, no less than Dr. Fauci has said he thinks the NBA is on the right track with the bubble concept. We talked to Buster Olney today, who seemed way less confident about Major League Baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. These guys are going to be traveling on airplanes, going to different cities. There is no bubble. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. But, again, I give them credit for trying, but I'm not so sure how they're going to pull it off. I think basketball's got the best shot of it. I don't think football has much of a shot at all.
I don't either, Bill. I think you're right. I'm trying to figure, aren't social distancing and football complete polar opposites?
Well, you have John Harbaugh saying it's humanly impossible to do what they're asking them to do. So if the virus is still spiking, I don't see how that's going to work. And it's particularly problematic with the college kids and letting these college kids come back on campus. And I've written about this. I think it's terrible that a college campus that's closed to other students because of safety reasons is open for the athletes. Because what does that tell you? The football players make them all the money, and that's what they're going to use them for that. So, yes, I think the NBA does it, and I think the NBA can make it work. I don't see, baseball, again, I wouldn't be surprised if baseball didn't even get to the starting line. I hope it does. Mm-hmm. And I hope it, because I miss it, and everybody misses it. And bless them for trying. But I don't see, I don't see how the safety, if the NBA is in a bubble, and that's barely going to work, how are these other teams without a bubble going to work?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
You know, let's just assume baseball's going to happen. Assume it's going to happen and assume it's going to work. I've been making the case all day long that the Dodgers are not a lock to make the playoffs in a 60-game season, that the odds are actually longer for them to win the World Series this year than they would in a 162-game season. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you 100%. The three words the Dodgers hate to use always is small sample size, right?
Yep.
Even John, you've heard him say it all the time.
Yeah.
We don't judge things on small sample sizes. They're whole methodology is to grind it out. 6 months, it's a marathon. Pick and choose, mix and match, get guys in different at bats, different positions, different, they take their time, they wear everybody else down with their depth. They're not gonna be able to do that anymore. They have to come out hard and keep coming hard. I did some research. It only took about 5 minutes, but for the seven championship seasons, Four of those seasons, they started four games over 500 or less after 60 games. They're not traditionally a fast starting team. And they're going to have to rely on the bullpen a lot more this year, especially early, and their bullpen is not their strength. So, yes, this is kind of anti – this would make the Dodgers a lot more difficult. Although it's going to be fun to see them play the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Amen.
That'll be tremendous. But I agree with you, Mason. Yeah, I think it's going to be tougher for them.
Bill, we talk a lot about the fact that COVID has shortened these seasons and there was nothing really anything can do about it. But I've said, and I'm biased because I work with the Lakers, but if the Lakers somehow pull this off, if the NBA Orlando campus works and the Lakers win the title – in my eyes, when you consider the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, the fact that they made it through a pandemic, the fact that they will have somehow navigated this, the championship, in my eyes, just me personally, will not be in any way less than. But am I seeing that through purple and gold colored glasses? Would it just by definition be less than?
No, you're being realistic. I think everybody's going to think that. I think it's been well earned even more so than if it had been a regular season. And I think I'll take it a step further. I think this would elevate LeBron, and I know this is the last dance blasphemy here, but it would elevate LeBron to equal to Jordan status, if not ahead of him. I think this is tremendous if the Lakers can pull this off. The difficulties, all they've been through this year, and to stay together during this pandemic, and I heard they had secret workouts, to which I say, good for them. Good for them. I think, yes, I agree. And I think most people will agree. I think at the end of the day, come October, when it all ends, the parade will be just as long. The trophy will be just as big. Everybody's going to remember it. You know, look back to San Antonio.
Wait a minute. You can't possibly think there'll be a physical parade in October.
That's a good one. Yeah, well, no, the parade next April will be just
yeah,
a
thing. Amen.
but you know, think about Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson is the only one that thinks the Spurs should have an asterisk over that 99 season.
That's true. I've already forgotten that there was a strike in 99, and I worked that year. So did you.
Yeah. The Dodgers won in 81. It was they played 110 games that year. Nobody remembers that. Nobody. No, I think this will be even more. Whoever wins it, Lakers or anybody, it'll be even more of a tribute to that team, that organization, that they're able to stick together. But particularly the Lakers, particularly this year, and particularly LeBron. I think LeBron's been a driving force in getting basketball back, frankly. And I think that he will be the big winner in all this.
Bill, if this goes wrong and the optimism fails us, what are we going to do for a living?
Yeah, I've kind of been wondering about that myself, Steve.
It's a totally fair. A lot of people asking that question.
I think Fauci, I think there's going to be a vet, because we need fans. We need to have the fans in the stands. I mean, that's what we need. And I think Fauci said there's going to be a vaccine, he thinks, by the first of the year or something. So probably next year. I mean, I think probably everybody's got to be ready to take a mulligan on this year and come back in the spring of 2021. And kind of start over again. I think that's probably, and I think that's going to be the least of it. So I think we can hang in there till then. There'll be enough. Hell, baseball will be fighting with each other all winter long.
Right.
Worth writing about. How sick was that?
It's just ridiculous. Baseball is the worst.
Yeah, well, they did
absolutely the worst.
They did irreparable damage again, and they just keep doing it. All right, hey Bill, last thing for me, and I know and you just kind of touched on it, but I know I'm totally asking you to speculate, but I'm curious. When are the three of us, for the first time, going to cover an event at SoFi Stadium? When are we going to set foot in that place?
All three of us at the same time. so that means Mason gets the press pass.
Well, no, Mason has season tickets to the Rams.
He got tickets. Well, no, but Mason will go as a press pass before he gets his seat. I would think probably October, maybe. I think October.
You know, socially distanced fans, maybe the Rams let some people in?
No, I don't know. I think if the three of us as media members.
No fans.
In October.
No fans.
Oh, no, there won't be fans. There will not be fans until next year. There's
right.
There's no fans anywhere until next year.
Wow.
So we'll be the only ones there, us three.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I mean, how do you all feel about getting on airplanes and going cover events?
I haven't yet.
Well, John, are you going? You're going to Orlando, right? John, are you in the bubble, right?
No, I don't think so, Bill. They haven't made the final determination yet. But what they're leaning towards, in order to keep the traveling party small, is to have us broadcast the games from, like, even the TNT announcers aren't going into the bubble. So most announcers are going to do it from a studio. They do the Olympics that way now. that most people, Mason's worked like eight Olympics. Most people are in studios in New York, but they haven't made a final determination yet, but that's the way they're leaning.
I don't think you should mind that too much, buddy. I think it's
No, I don't. I'd be happy just to get the games back.
Yeah, I would too. Just I'll watch it from home and do a Zoom press conference. I'm good.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Bill, right. thank right, you guys. For doing this, man.
Thanks, Bill.
Have me on anytime. Thanks, guys. Call right, me up, Lindsay. I'm here.
See? Wasn't that hard?
Yeah, no. But by the way, there's something weird going on with Lindsay.
So I'm starting to wonder if maybe I had the wrong number that Alan gave me.
There is something going on with you, Lindsay.
Okay, so I got a tweet or a text from Lindsay today, and she said, she said something along the lines of, "Hey, John, can you text Buster?
I did not say that.
I'm going to read it. Okay, be careful, because I'm going to read exactly what you wrote.
Okay.
There is evidence.
I never said anything about not having a cell, because I definitely have it.
And I thought, that's weird. I've already sent it to you.
Right. And read it. You'll find out that that's not what I said.
It comes down to, whether or not, like, Plotchke doesn't seem to be that hard of a guy to get a hold of. Does he not respond to you?
I think, like I said, the number that I was originally given for him was not the correct number. So.
All right. So he'll be easy to get from now on.
Yeah, I think that was Alan's fault, but
okay.
All right, here's the exact tweet from Lindsay today. John, can you send an email to Buster?
No, that's from Mason. That's from
I
Mason.
I don't have
that's a
his
group text
email
with Mason, that
or
Mason.
Cell. Oh,
geez,
okay.
How old are you that you can't read a group text and text
what,
and
you
see
know what
that
the
it
sad
says
thing
SN
is?
Next to it?
Lindsay, you know what the sad thing
Come
is?
Come on.
I can no longer read the little SM or LF if I don't have my glasses on.
Aren't you the guy with the gigantic text? Print.
Oh no, my mom has like I'm gonna switch to that soon. But no, now if I have glasses, I can read fine. Mason, can you read like regular Apple iPhone script without bumping it up?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you got better eyes than me. My eyes are, and this has all happened in the last 2 years.
I'm younger than you.
Yeah, what's coming? Trust me, I'm 2 years older than you. It's coming.
All right. You know what's amazing on Twitter? Some reaction to Bill Plotchke. There are an increasing number of fans who say, just screw the whole thing and wait till 2021.
Really?
Yeah. Just call this a mulligan, like Bill said, and let's just wait till 2021. And I don't understand that as an attitude.
All right, well, let's get somebody on the 877-710-3776. If you want to punt on sports, if you don't want any sports...
Or if you don't think it's possible and we should wait.
Yeah, 877-710-3776. And also Game of Games coming up in this last half hour.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. ESPN Los Angeles Sports. Mason in Ireland, what's going on? So we just talked to Bill Plotchke, who did write the sentence this week. He did write the sentence. Professional sports will not stop until somebody dies. They're not going to stop until somebody dies. And there are some people who have that opinion, John. And I mentioned people on Twitter are like, they sort of agree with that sentiment from Plotchke that it's not going to happen until 2021. Maybe there's a vaccine early next year and all of a sudden everybody's able to play and fans are able to be there and all that stuff. But why bother under these circumstances when people's health is at risk?
I think you got to try.
Me too.
Bill said it at the top of the call. I think you got to try. And God forbid it gets that serious that someone dies. People are going to get sick, though, Mace.
Yeah, people will get sick. It's
going
to happen.
A lot of people are saying no sports. Here's John in Los Angeles on line two. Hey, John, you're on 710 ESPN.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. Here's my concern, guys.
Yep.
The quality of the sport is going to be in the toilet. How can we have the Lakers playing and people start coming up positive? And you're just going to replace them with replacement players? So my concern is the quality of every sport. It's going to be like a coronavirus championship series. Whoever doesn't get it wins.
Well, first of all, we don't know that it's going to be that bad, particularly in the NBA because of this bubble concept, right? Even Dr. Fauci says the bubble thing could very well work. Baseball is a different story. Baseball, although there's natural social distancing that is involved, I mean, they are going to have to travel. They are playing in their home stadiums. You can't play 900 games in a bubble, so they are going to be traveling. And football, I'm going to be honest, I don't think football is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think you're right about football. I think that season's going to be scrapped, college,
pro
football.
I'm a diehard Laker fan. You know, I mean, come on. That's a drug that we all miss.
Yep.
But something happens and LeBron James or Anthony Davis comes down with it. It's over. Just like that. They're doing all this work. I mean, you can't have key players coming up and just not being able to play. What type of championship is that?
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. Thanks, John, for the phone call. Here's Lee in Pomona. Hey, Lee, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, man, first time caller. How you guys doing today?
Glad you called, Lee. Thanks for calling, man.
Man, great show, man. I've been listening for a long time. So I'm an avid sports fan. Every kind of sport. Played all three sports going to high school. Came to California from Indiana playing basketball, D2, at Cal Poly Pomona. So nice. I love sports. But I don't think that – I think that – just talk about the NBA. My only concern is if it fails – It's such an epic fail for everybody who's watching, who kind of like is kind of waiting for life to come back. But if it kind of failed, wouldn't it kind of damper people's spirits? That's my only thing. That's the only way I think. That's how I think about it.
Fair question.
Is it going to damper people's spirits? Yes. But is it going to raise people's spirits in the short term? Does it give us something to look forward to? Does it give us something fun and exciting to talk about for right now? Do we have a chance of getting through these seasons? There is a chance that it will work. There is a chance that we learn enough over the next couple of weeks and over the next couple of months that we're going to be able to figure out exactly how to do it in best practices. But I think it's absolutely worth the chance. And by the way, to the last caller's point, I do think the play is going to be ragged. I do think the play is going to be ragged. Dodgers aren't going to have a full spring training. Baseball's not going to have a full spring training. They're not necessarily going to be tuned up and ready to go for the start of the year. I think the first eight games of the regular season in the NBA are going to function almost like preseason games. So I do think that the play is going to suffer somewhat. And it will be marred if a big star player, if Mookie Betts, test positive for coronavirus in the middle of the National League Championship Series, and he's down for 14 days in quarantine. Or if LeBron tests positive for the coronavirus, God help us, in the middle of the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. I mean, that is a disaster for the sport to play a series without LeBron. But unfortunately, it's a risk that we're going to have to deal with if we're going to bring sports back, and I think it's absolutely worth doing.
Lee, thank you for the phone call, man. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate you listening. Let's get Mike from Palmdale in here. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, thank you, guys. First time calling. Never called a radio station in my life. Just I decided to call. Touchy subject.
Good.
I've been a coach for youth soccer for about 10 years now. So we've been waiting to follow the lead, of course, of this professional sport, of how it's going to go. I feel terrible about those. I guess a women's soccer team had to drop out for some reason. A tournament.
Right, yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, that is horrible, you know. And to see that keep on going, it's not going to be right. Baseball, hockey, football, it's all the same. Doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be touching somebody. You're going to be by somebody.
Well, Mike, here's a different way of looking at it. You mentioned you're a youth soccer coach. You can either try, and you might fail. You can try and bring sports back, or you could just wave the white flag. I think it's worth trying. It may play out exactly the way you're suggesting, that these people get next to each other, they all get COVID, and they got to shut it down. But Adam Silver said it best. It's what we do. We put on basketball games. You might as well try it. I say this knowing it could fail, but why not try it?
Gotcha. Guaranteed there'll be a handful of players that they're going to be healthy. Concerns that you have never known about, and they do not want to reveal it.
Yep.
Some guy has a little bit of asthma. Some guy has this and that, and they're not going to want to, you know, it's not going to be out there. But thank you, guys. Love you guys.
All right, thanks, Mike.
You guys have a good day.
Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. All right. I think it's all up in the air. We don't know how it's going to play out, but I think it's absolutely worth the effort. And I'm going to be as optimistic as I possibly can that we are going to get an NBA season, that we are going to get a Major League Baseball season. God help us, we're going to get an NFL season. By the way, I had a dream last night, John.
Uh-oh.
I had a dream.
You sure you want to share that on the radio?
Yes, I'm going to share it because it's a good one. So I had a dream that I was at Dodger Stadium watching a game. It was completely empty except for me sitting behind home plate. And that vendor, is it Roger Owens? Isn't that the name of the famous vendor at Dodger Stadium?
Peanut guy.
Peanut guy. That guy was walking through the stands and sold me peanuts. That was my dream. Now, I have no idea if that's going to come true. Bill seemed to think that ultimately media people might be allowed in for events.
I don't think they'll have Roger Owens selling media people peanuts.
No,
but
he's going to be tossing.
By the
peanuts.
Way, Mace, before we get to Game of Games, Jeff Passan, 2 minutes ago, been waiting almost 3 months to type this. Baseball is back. A schedule is in place. Retweeting a tweet from Carl Ravitch. The deal is done between the MLBPA and MLB on health and safety protocols. Game on. So everything's cleared. We're playing.
Nice. Well, I wonder when we get the schedule.
Soon, I would think.
Dodgers will be playing. The NL West will play the AL West to keep it regional, which means the Dodgers will have games against the Astros. They'll have games against the Rangers. They'll have games against the Angels. It should be that part of it should be fun. If we get it going, that part of it should be fun. Dodgers Angels and Dodgers Astros in meaningful games. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is my game today. Right now, Lindsay and I both have 2 wins, I think.
Funch and I each have 1, so this
right.
is a critical game today.
Critical game in Game of Games. Next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is time for Game of Games. We keep track of the winners here, and we keep track of the losers. Right now, I've got 2 wins. Lindsay has 2 wins. Ireland and Funch, 1 win apiece. We are playing for the month of June. And I am playing the game. It's my game today, so I can't win. I'm on vacation the next couple of days. Ireland is on vacation next week. Those are just natural handicaps. So the door is open for Lindsay or Funch to win this thing.
Now, did we get Lindsay back? She was rebooting her computer.
I'm here.
Okay, good.
I'm here.
All right, so this game is called the NBA Twitter game. I've got Twitter follows for a bunch of different people around the NBA, players and otherwise. You got to tell me who has more Twitter followers.
Okay.
So there are 7 of these. Michael Jordan or Bill Simmons? Michael Jordan or Bill Simmons, Ireland?
I think it's Simmons because Jordan never tweets. But Jordan's pretty famous. I'll go Simmons.
Lindsay?
I'll guess Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan and Funch.
MJ.
I'm sorry, it is Bill Simmons. 5.8 million followers to Michael Jordan's 4 million. All right, so John's on the board. Number 2, Damian Lillard or Giannis Antetokounmpo? Damian Lillard or Giannis? Lindsay, you go first here.
I'm going to go with Dame.
Go with Dame. Funch.
Lillard.
Lillard. John.
Wow, Giannis is... But Dame's really active on Twitter, and he's a rapper. I'll go Dame.
Dame, you guys all have it right. Dame, 2 million, and Giannis, 1.1 million. All right, this is a good one. Zion Williamson or Ja Morant? Zion Williamson or Ja Morant, the 2 rookies this year. Funch.
Ja Morant.
Ja Morant. Ireland.
Zion or Ja Morant? I think it's Ja.
Ja. And Lindsay.
I'm worried that it might be a double trick, so I'm going to say Zion.
I'm sorry, it's not a double trick. It's not even
Darn
a single trick. I don't even know what that means. It's Ja Morant, 603,000 followers to Zion's 465. So it's Ireland 3, Funch 2, Lindsay 1.
Wait. Say that again.
How many
Ja Morant, 603,000. Zion Williams, 465.
I thought it'd be much closer.
Nope, not that close. All right, next one. Shams Charania or Ernie Johnson? Shams Charania or Ernie Johnson? John, we're back to you.
Shams or Ernie? Shams tweets a lot. I'll go Shams.
Shams. Lindsay.
I will also say Shams.
Shams. And Funch.
Got to be Shams.
Shams is correct. 785,000. Ernie Johnson, 559. All right, here we go. Anthony Davis or Blake Griffin? Anthony Davis or Blake Griffin? We start with Lindsay.
I'm going to guess Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin. Funch.
Blake.
Blake. John.
Well, Blake tweets all that great. I think it's Blake by a lot.
It is Blake, and it's by a lot. 4.4 million to 1.7 million. So it is Ireland 5, Funch 4, Lindsay 3. Dwight Howard or Russell
Ooh.
Westbrook? Dwight
Ooh,
Howard or Russell Westbrook? Funch, you start.
Oh, man. Westbrook.
Westbrook, Ireland.
Dwight Howard or Russell Westbrook? Oh, that's a good one. I'll say it's Dwight.
Dwight and Lindsay.
We lose her?
I'm going to go. No, sorry. I was on mute. I'm going to go Russell Westbrook.
The correct answer, Dwight Howard, and John has taken a commanding 6-4-3 lead. We don't do 2.5 anymore, do we?
No, not in not when we're playing for keeps. So,
so the last one's for fun.
But don't I have a chance to run the table here?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You can go undefeated here.
See if I can keep from screwing it up.
All right, the last one, the Kamenetsky brothers or Brad Turner? The Kamenetsky brothers or Brad Turner? Lindsay Funch, you don't really matter. Ireland's going for undefeated here.
Wow. I can't. BT's my guy. I got to go Brad Turner, even though it may cost me my perfect record. I'll go BT.
And John Ireland, you go undefeated 7-4-7. Kamenetsky brothers, 45,000. Brad Turner, 51,000. That's impressive to go undefeated in that. So Ireland is now on the board with two. It is now me 2 games, Ireland 2 games, Lindsay 2 games, and Funch in the rear with a single game.
And we're going to have Brian come up with a game on Thursday, right, Lindsay?
Yep, he's on top of it.
Okay, good. And good. I'll have to do it Wednesday, Friday. So I only have one more chance this week. I don't know if I can win the month since I'm leaving after that, but I better win on Thursday if I have any fighting chance.
That means next week when Momo's filling in for you, we're going to have to deal with Momo games.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to write some games and give them to her.
She is the absolute
you can't, Lindsay,
worst
you can't because you
games.
Have to play them.
She
is
point.
Terrible at games. Meandering and slow and nonsensical and so
although
Momo.
We were talking last week, and I love them, but Mace, who was the worst ever at writing Fast Track? Ever in the history of everything.
Was it Beto Durant?
Yeah, Beto's my guy, but Beto was like, what is your favorite color? Mine is blue. Like, Beto, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Beto was not good at Fast Track.
You know who's excellent at writing games, although he says he doesn't like doing them, is Michael. Michael
yeah,
comes
Michael
up with these really
good games.
He goes, I could never be on this show. You have to write too much. I go, all right, that's probably true. We do come up with a lot
of bits. Yeah,
you
do have to write a lot. All right, coming up next for you, we're going to bring Sliwa in for some crosstalk. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. By the way, should I read this text, Alan, that you just sent me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sliwa texted me this. I bring the party. I bring the
party. All right,
party.
So what do you got, Sliwa?
Yeah,
let's put that to the test. What are you bringing tonight?
What's the party?
Tonight, just as always, I'll just be sipping on gin as the show progresses. And as we get closer to 8 o'clock, it gets more entertaining.
Yeah,
so for the first hour and a half, I would not recommend it. Would not recommend it.
By you would not recommend,
your own show?
What kind of show is that? You won't even recommend your own show.
It's a great plug. That's the way to plug it in. That's the way to plug it in.
You're really all over. All right, so you know what I love? I love the origins of expressions. You know, where expressions come from. So I came across one that's really interesting. It's
all right,
minding...
don't tell me where it came from. I want to guess. So what's the expression?
Minding your P's and Q's. Minding your P's and Q's.
Okay, so minding your P's and Q's comes from when you used to learn how to write. Because the P is the opposite of the Q. A P is you turn the loop to the right, and a Q, a lowercase Q, is you turn it to the left. So if you could, if you're not paying attention, you could easily transpose the P and the Q. That is the origin of minding P's and Q's. What do you think?
I have to tell you, that is wrong, but would make so much sense. That was actually a very, very logical explanation.
And the fact delivered. That I sold it hard helped, I think.
Sliwa, any idea?
Well, now that I looked it up, but I would just be reading verbatim what it says on Wikipedia, so I'll go with...
you're not supposed to look it up.
Sliwa, what? How long have you been doing this? What's
you're
wrong with
cheat.
You?
You're a cheat.
Well, no,
you
I
are a cheat.
Mason, I tried to explain that to you, and you refused to listen.
Listen, I said this before. The only way it's an actual cheat is if I tell you that I did it without cheating.
You've done that.
Yeah, you did do that once.
Was that the birthday game for the one time?
Yes.
The one
yeah.
Time the birthday
yes.
Game?
That well, was less than honorable.
If you, yeah, if you rob a bank one
after.
Time, you can't. Your defense cannot be, I only did it one time.
5 seconds you, after, I admitted it. That was part of my bit, and then the bit turned against me because I don't know how to do bits, and you guys are good at bits.
Right. Yeah, bits
that's
are not happened. Your thing.
That's
tweet
not my thing.
From Jeff, one of our listeners. New name for Sliwa Show, Party in a Can.
Party in a Can.
That's
all right, so the origin of minding your P's and Q's. At taverns, pubs, and bars, people drank from pint and quart-sized containers. So a barmaid's job was to keep an eye on the customers and keep the drinks coming. She had to pay close attention and remember who was drinking in pints and who was drinking in quarts. Hence, minding your P's and Q's.
You know, it's this funny. One. I looked it up, too, and it sounds like John was actually right on the money.
No.
What are you talking about? I totally made mine up.
Well, it's that's Alan, did you see the same thing in Wikipedia?
I'm seeing it's an English language expression meaning mind your manners, mind your language, be on your best behavior, watch what you're doing.
Right, but we're talking about not what it means. We're talking about the origin of it.
Right, when pupils were taught to write lowercase alphabet, the positioning of the vertical line before and after the circle represents different letters. Pupils had to mind the placement of the letter. Basically what John said.
Right, but right in the next paragraph, it says, another explanation suggests the P's and Q's are short for please and thank yous, and another proposed origin is from the owners of pubs and taverns, people who drink in pints and quarts.
So maybe this is not a great example, yeah, because it has multiple.
I guess it has multiple explanations, so I've got to give you credit. I had no idea that you would figure it out, but technically, that was correct.
Sounds like the most logical explanation out of the three, right?
I don't know. Pints and quarts make sense, right?
It does.
I don't know. I've bartended. I've never heard of anyone serving drinks in quarts.
There was a bar in New York. It's probably long closed, but it was called McSorley's, and they would serve you stuff in quarts. They would serve you, and then in Ireland, you would go. You always go for a pint.
Right, you go you for know, a pint, exactly.
Like, pints is fine, but I've just never heard of the quarts.
Okay, let's do one more. Cost you an arm and a leg. Cost you an arm and a leg.
All right, I got it. Cost you an arm and a leg. The origin of this is when you are buying chicken in the market. Okay, so if you would go to back then, which was the general store, and you were buying, you didn't have enough money to buy the whole chicken, but you could get an arm and a leg. Although I just realized this isn't going to work because chickens don't have arms, but that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay,
it has to do with buying chickens.
The armed chickens. Yeah. This is what I've got. In George Washington's days, paintings of George Washington have him standing behind a desk with one arm behind his back, while others show both legs and both arms. prices by the painters that were charged were not based on how many people were to be painted, but by how many limbs were to be painted. So arms and legs are limbs, therefore painting them would cost the buyers more. Hence the expression, it'll cost you an arm and a leg.
I was a little off on that one.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
The old chicken arms didn't work.
Yeah.
So Smallwood,
I was just going to go in a just complete medical term of it and just completely make it up. Sound like I could sell it like John can, but I can't. That's
no,
the reality
you
right
couldn't,
now.
You yeah. could not possibly do that because
no, he does it with so much confidence. Yeah.
Bits are not your thing.
Could it be a bit if bits are not my thing, or that's not even a bit?
John, is it a bit if bits are not his thing?
I don't think so. I mean, I've never met anyone who's incapable of doing a bit. Why don't you do a bit tonight, Slee?
Well, yeah,
just
do
make
a bit.
Up a bit to do on your show.
All I have to do is the same thing over and over again. It becomes a bit, correct?
It depends what it is.
Depends what it is. It's got to be good.
What do you have in mind?
I didn't have a bit in mind for tonight.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Have a bit in mind for tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys got to be pretty excited here. I mean, the 60 game's finally going to happen.
Yeah.
Mace, did you take – you know, we mentioned this for a quick second yesterday. I took probably in the first half hour or so, took a few calls, maybe 4 or 5 calls. Most of the calls, you know, kind of towards the end of before Crosstalk, how you guys were mentioning about just basically do fans – do they want to see sports back? Do they think, you know what, let's just punt this year and let's wait till next season? I was getting a lot of that yesterday. I was kind of surprised that there were a number of fans saying it's not worth it, too many risks, too many question marks, let's just punt till next year. Right? You guys getting a lot of that or no?
We did get some of that, and we took some calls like that today, which I don't understand. I mean, even Bill Plaschke, who was on the show, by the way, today,
I did
and
hear.
Is now one of our guys as mm-hmm. opposed to one of your guys, even Bill Plaschke is trying to be optimistic. He's been very, very negative on this whole thing, saying, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think we should try it. It's not worth the risk. You know what? I think even Bill has come around to the idea that we should give it a shot. It's worth a shot. Could it all come crashing down with a slew of positive coronavirus tests and a slew of people coming down with coronavirus? I guess so. That is completely possible. In the case of football in particular, I think looks like a long shot. Baseball, slightly better shot. NBA, best shot. But I don't understand the people who say not worth a shot at all.
Well, Mace, what's the difference with this? Eventually, we're going to have to try to go back to work, right? Eventually... as you know, and I know there's been a number of different phases for LA, like eventually you're going to have to try it out. If you don't,
yes.
let's use our economy as an example. What if, you know, Los Angeles and the entire country still decided, and I'm not saying I have a right answer or wrong answer here, because I know COVID cases are going up. At some point you have to try. And I think that is the same thing with all these, you know, obviously all these sports lined up. You guys have said this, and I know you guys have been emphasizing this. You feel the least confident about football. How are they going to make it happen? College, NFL, basketball, because it's the bubble, maybe that has the greatest to succeed. And then baseball, this small sample size of 60 games. Okay, what's going to change in 3 months or 4 months from now or 5 months? Like, there's no guarantees that something's going to change over the course of this 90-day window, 120 days. I think they're doing the right thing, but you're right. It can all come crashing down. Maybe they learn a lot during that process.
Yeah, I mean, I assume at some point somebody's going to say, hey, Mason, Ireland, Lindsay, Funch, well, Funch is already there, you guys can go back to the office. You can go back to the studios and do your show. I mean, I don't know, how far away are we from that moment?
I'm thinking August.
Yeah, I mean, I used to think it was June.
Michael and I are going to have to go in earlier because we're going to have to do the games from in there, I think. But everybody
right.
else, I think you guys are all looking at August.
Damn. I never thought I'd miss going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I miss going to work, to being in the studio, to having that studio vibe, to just saying hi to John Chin and Trish and Sean and the whole gang at the office and having those completely unimportant conversations. Right. I mean, they're completely unimportant. Hey, how you doing? Not bad. How about you? What's up right now? I don't know. I mean, you know, but just having that interaction, mm-hmm. that human interaction is what I'm missing. And by the way, this weekend, John, I think it's official. We are going to go to a restaurant.
Atta boy.
There you go.
Welcome back. Sliwa, have you been to a restaurant yet?
One time, and I'm going to probably wait. I'm going to wait longer now. I wasn't
really
crazy.
I've been back-to-back weekends, had a good time both time, and I would go back this weekend. I'm leaving Sunday but to go up to Pebble Beach, but maybe Saturday I'll go somewhere.
Sliwa, what happened that you won't go back?
Well, just real quick, John, did you sit outside?
Yep. Both times.
But are there still people, you can still sit inside, but it's just going to be social distance, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Every other table.
Not anything specific, but I wouldn't have done it. I had a cousin come up for the weekend, and he wanted to go to a restaurant. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have done it. I'm just not comfortable yet. I guess that's the best way to put it. But went to a restaurant in Pasadena, and it's not that, you know, the restaurant is doing anything wrong. It's just, it feels weird. And I think there's also those who are going out are completely cavalier. You know what I mean? Like they're all good. Yes, the mask is on, but for the most part, if they're walking around, no mask, you know, when they're inside, I think, you know, you can only do so much from a restaurant perspective. I feel for the restaurants. All of a sudden, you're only supposed to have 25%, 50% seating.
Right.
Like they can only do so much. You got the restrooms, I wasn't completely comfortable with it, but I think that's a mental thing, and I think a lot of people are still in that stage. And then I think there's others. John, you're probably more along those lines. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm just wearing a mask everywhere and going back to living.
Well, I mean, in the next couple of days, which I'm taking off, I am going to go to the Apple store because I have to swap out computers, and I am going to get a haircut. So
very exciting.
My reintroduction to the world. Will be the next couple of days.
All right, hey, I found a couple more phrases for you guys
to
guess where their origins are, okay?
Good.
You guys should get this one. Saved by the Bell. Mace, what's that from?
Saved by the Bell would be when you're asked a question by a teacher mm-hmm. and you don't know the answer and the school bells ring.
Sliwa?
1965. This actually happened in the southern part of. I have no idea at all. I'm
going to
go
to
the worst advance. Mason dance.
I think it has something to do with the church bells, maybe.
No, I'm betting Funches knows this one. Funch, what's Saved by the Bell?
A TV show in the 90s.
Yeah,
it is.
No, but
that's not an incorrect.
I thought
answer.
It was. I really thought it was
Mason's. Right.
Yeah, it was Mason's thing where you Saved by the Bell with a teacher question.
Saved by the Bell is a boxing term. If you're getting the crap beat out of you,
of course it is.
And you're not defending yourself, and you're just getting pummeled. The bell goes off, and the referee will jump in, and you were saved by the bell.
Yeah, of course that's
okay.
What it is.
What about the term dead ringer? Anybody know where that's from?
That's got to be from...
I didn't know this, and it's interesting.
From horseshoes. You throw a horseshoe, lands on the spike, and spins around. It's a dead ringer.
And it rings. You're actually closer than I thought any of you would get. It is...
You only asked one person.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think that it's a horse racing term.
Did you look it up?
No.
It is a horse racing term. A ringer is a horse substituted for another of similar appearance in order to defraud the bookies. So you got a horse that looked just like your horse but didn't run as fast, and you put him in that way.
How will you not know the difference?
Well, because
you'd
they
be
all
a really
have
bad jockey.
Well, but they all have
no,
silks on, and maybe the jockey would be in on it.
Oh, okay.
Really bad jockey. I don't know what horse I'm on. No, the jockey's got to be in on the gig.
Okay.
That's why they say if you're playing a basketball game, somebody's a ringer. In other words, they're really, really good, better than anybody could have expected. They're going to win the game for you.
I thought dead ringer meant like a lookalike. Like, oh, she's a dead ringer for Madonna. I think they're two different terms, aren't they?
No, I think
a ringer and a dead ringer?
They could be. Yeah, they could be. Those could be two different terms.
Sleeve, you got a bit now?
Still working on it right now, writing it out.
You're sketching it?
Should be ready by August.
Okay. Coming up next, more preparations for Alan Sliwa's bit. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great Cross-Trade service for our listeners right now. PowerProPlumbing.com. Get a $99 drain cleaning. Again, go to PowerProPlumbing.com. Hey, I got a quick question. What's the first concert, Mace, you've ever been to? What was the first? Do you remember the first concert you had ever gone to?
Yeah, what do you think? I was like so rock and stoned, I don't even remember where I was. I saw the band Boston. Would have been Sammy Hagar opened. It would have been like 1978, 79. So that was my first concert. And it was, frankly, not a memorable one. It was cool to be at a concert, but it wasn't like a great concert.
Unique thing about the band Boston, the lead singer never wrote any of the songs.
Really?
Yeah, he just sang them. Same thing with The Who, which was the first concert I ever went to, Alan, was The Who.
Roger Daltrey didn't write any of the songs.
Zero. He was basically simply hired as the singer.
Okay, so I only bring that up because you guys
Is that going to be your bit tonight?
You guys mentioned an artist earlier today.
Yeah.
Do you remember who you mentioned? That was the first concert I ever went to.
We mentioned...
Ooh, okay, let's figure it out. What artist did we mention?
I don't remember what I said 10 minutes ago.
I don't either. Okay, Alan, what sport were we talking about?
You guys were talking about, it was football.
We're talking about football.
Okay, we didn't mention who was supposed to open SoFi. We were talking about...
We were talking about Madonna?
No. Lindsay brought up Madonna in this like last.
It might have been during headlines.
Shania Twain.
That was your first concert, Alan?
Okay, listen to this story, John. So,
still the one?
Listen to this story. All right, so I got obviously two sisters, right? So, they tell me one day, okay, hey, you're coming with us. I'm like, okay, where are we going? They said we're going to a concert. I'm like, okay, well, what kind of music is it? They're like, country. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I know nothing about country. So, of course, I have this kind of stance in my head, like, this is so stupid. This is going to be so bad. And we go, I think Coors Amphitheater. I think that's what it was called at the time. I don't know if it's still called that, down in San Diego.
Okay.
Go. I have no idea who Shania Twain is. I guess maybe I knew some of her songs, but I didn't know anything about it. And probably like 10, 15 minutes in, it's the first concert I've ever been to. You know, you go from this sounds so stupid to who the hell is Shania Twain? This girl's amazing. You guys are talking about Tua and his crush?
His celebrity crush is Shania Twain.
His celebrity crush, Shania Twain. That was probably over 20 years ago, and she's still on his list for celebrity crush. Literally, the first concert I ever went to was Shania.
Wow.
Sliwa, who's your celebrity crush?
You know who's amazing? Alicia Keys, to me, is amazing. Just an amazing artist, as authentic as it gets, absolutely beautiful. I'd say Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
John is Kate Beckinsale, and who is your runner-up?
J-Lo.
J-Lo. Who's age-appropriate?
Both of them are.
Who's your celebrity crush?
He may not be there.
He may not be with us.
Kate Upton.
He doesn't have one.
Kate Upton, another one.
Kate Upton. Lindsay, who's your celebrity crush?
Kate Upton can't be your celebrity crush because she's married to Justin Verlander and we hate
that's
the
true.
Astros. You have to get rid of that one.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Lindsay,
she's beautiful.
Mine is Zac Efron, probably.
Or Zac Efron.
Channing Tatum. Yep.
Interesting.
Do you not know who he is?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows who
you said
Zac
that. You
Efron
said that like
is.
You were confused.
No, like the High School Musical kid.
I don't know what that is. Was he in that?
Yeah, he was in that.
Oh,
High School Musical.
Never saw the High School Musical.
Sliwa, when's that bit coming?
August.
August. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read what you're supposed to read, or did
I did
you
read it.
That?
No. I read that, so we're good on that front. How's that poll going, by the way? The 60 game versus 162.
Okay, it's a very good question. Mm-hmm. The way that poll was phrased, just to be clear, the way that poll was phrased was, if the Dodgers win the World Series at the end, actually, no, that's yesterday's poll. Which is harder to win, a 162-game season or a 60-game season? And 57% of people say a 60-game season is harder to win, which makes total and complete sense to me. Mm-hmm. That's the case I made. What do you think, Alan?
Definitely with you. Remember, we were making the argument about the expanded playoffs, and I was saying how much I want to see it, and you kept referencing, okay, well, at the end of the day, it's just another chance for the Dodgers to potentially have a team that gets in front of them or gets hot and, you know, obviously can eliminate them. I think it's the same thing with a 60 game. Nightingale had a story probably about a couple hours ago. He talks about the Rockies last year were 37-23 during a 60 game stretch last year, but they finished 71-91. He said the Pirates were a game and a half behind the Cardinals at the All-Star break, but at the end of the season, they were 22 games behind. And I think that just supports your story, right, Mace, that if that sample size is that small, yes, the Dodgers are stacked, but, you know, the chances of something happening or another team getting hot obviously increases. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
To Lindsay's point from earlier, if you're a team that's awful, it improves your chances to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Awful teams can get hot. And I think it's last year the Pirates were two games back at the All-Star break and ended up 10 games back. But it makes it much harder on a great team to win. There is going to be some great team that is left out of the playoffs this year because of the 60-game season. And every single game, and by the way, this is actually cool for Dodger fans who for a long time have not been able to see Dodger games. Everybody will see these games. Everybody will see Sportsnet LA this year in these Dodger games. And every single one of them is going to mean something. Every single game is going to be a big game. You cannot afford, by the way, you have to get off to a great start. Mm-hmm. You have to get off to a great start. That's why I'm interested to see the schedule. Who are the Dodgers going to play first? Do they open up against the Angels? Wouldn't that be interesting? Mike Trout versus the Dodgers in a situation where both teams need to get off to a really good start. I think every game is going to be dramatic because there's only 60. Lindsay is not a fan of the 60 games. And I think, Lindsay, fair to say, you don't even want the Indians to win.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I said, is I don't want the Indians to win. You are correct. Man, you're worse than those Twitter trolls, Mace.
How's that?
I'm just, you know, just making stuff up just to get people to say something because you don't have anything to say yourself.
Did you not say you'd rather they not win?
No, I just said I feel like it cheapens it, and it just seems like I'm not going to be as excited if they win. Like, I'm not going to care as much.
I think it is going to count for real. I think once the season gets rolling, it's going to count for real. And I don't think there will be an asterisk on this season.
I think you're crazy. I mean, I think there's very few people that are going to feel that way.
I think, Lindsay, it's always going to be talked about as the season where, actually as the year of what happened. But I don't know, to this point, and listening especially to the both of you, how, yes, you're so excited, you're going to be so optimistic, but you're cautious about the whole thing, that if we even get to October 12th and they crowned an NBA champ and they did, you know, obviously the same thing in Major League Baseball with the World Series, mission accomplished. Like, it just sounds like it's going to be such a challenge to even get there. I think if, you know, you're a fan, you just have to appreciate that they got it done.
Yeah, I think it'll be no less of an asterisk than the strike season. It'll be no less an asterisk as the strike season in the NBA, which San Antonio won. I mean, nobody puts an asterisk on those. World Series championships are World Series championships. The Dodgers can't help the fact that the coronavirus showed up.
That's what makes it actually even more of a challenge, right? The challenge is, at least if it's a labor dispute and it's a strike, that's two sides that had the option of playing. This is, I mean, completely different. The sports has been shelved for over 100 days because of a virus that wasn't around 8 months ago or 7 months ago or whatever it was.
The real question will be answered when a team other than the Dodgers wins the World Series, or the Dodgers lose in the World Series and Mason gives his thoughts then.
Absolutely not.
And says, well, it didn't count anyway.
Absolutely not. I will not say that. I think
it all depends on how it plays out, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on how it plays out. But, I mean, once you get into the playoffs, I mean, it all comes down to Dave Roberts and his pitching decisions anyway.
Or Mace, I mean, I know nobody wants to hear this. It also could just come down to what team is healthiest, right? And I'm not talking healthy as in they're literally, you know, I'm talking about
pulled hamstrings and
none of that. It could just literally be what team had to deal with COVID-19 the least. Hopefully, right? Like, hopefully that's not the case. But I'm saying that could be the conversation we're having in a couple of months. I mean, I don't think that's that much of a stretch.
And, I mean, we should get ready because next Wednesday, players are going to show up at their home stadium. So Dodgers will show up at Dodger Stadium. Angels show up at Angel Stadium. There are going to be – it's not a matter of if there are going to be positive tests. It's when there are. I mean, there are going to be positive tests when players showed up next week. And it's going to happen when the NBA players show up. We heard about Nikola Jokic today over in Serbia, but I mean, there are going to be multiple NBA players that test positive for coronavirus. And the idea is, how do you contain it? How can you contain it to eliminate the possibility that a whole team gets it or that multiple players on a team get it? That's where I hope baseball's got their act together. The NBA, I think, clearly does. They know what they're doing. I don't know that baseball, I don't have confidence in baseball and exactly the way they're going to approach coronavirus and if they've got the right protocols to be able to make this work.
I feel like Mace, at the end of the day, you know, one of the things that 113 pages in the NBA, they're protocol and their guidelines. One of the things Brian Windhorst was mentioning yesterday, it doesn't say anything of, okay, well, at what point do you say we have to stop the season? So I think that's going to be one of those that just we'll figure out, I guess, as we go.
Well, and the other thing is it's 6:24. We hit the door.
That's it.
Yep. What do you got?
Who's coming up on the show?
Kirk Morrison, co-hosting the whole show. Looking forward to that.
Okay, good. Tell him to come up with a bit.
And Pedro Moore will come on, too.
Has to have a bit. One of you does. All right, tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, John is here with Brian Kamenetsky, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.